Google has just submitted a patch for the Linux kernel to improve the TCP performance, the TCP stack performance, by up to 40% when you have a high number of TCP connections. The way they fix this, you know, really demonstrate how low-level understanding of how the CPU, memory, and the OS works is really critical for performance optimization. Let's jump into it and discuss. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. With that said, let's get on the show. There are many ways to architect performant backend applications, all of which are subject to a fundamental understanding of backend concepts and networking. Once an engineer understands these fundamentals, they can make appropriate decisions for their needs. There's really no wrong or right backend design. It all depends on the use cases. Get my Fundamentals of Backend Engineering course to understand backend communication design patterns, protocols, execution, proxying, and much more. To check out the course, head to backend.win for a discount coupon. That is backend.win. Let's get back to the show. So this comes from Foronix. As usual, great articles, great website. I love to use it a lot. But essentially, the title of this article is Linux 6.8 Network Optimizations Can Boost TCP Performance for Many Concurrent Connections by 40%. Let's read a little bit of blurb, and then I'm going to discuss. Beyond the usual wired wireless network hardware support and other routine churn in the big Linux network subsystem, Linux 6.8 kernel is bringing some key improvement to the core networking code to up to 40% of network performance in the TCP stack. So how do they do that? It is by they analyze and reorganize core networking structures. See, the Linux kernel is built in C, and C uses these structs, the structures. And those structures have variables. Right? What they did is they just changed the position of those variables. It's nuts. And they gain 40%. Why? We're going to explain that. So let's read this little bit blurb from Coco Lee from Google. Currently, variable heavy structs, so these are structs that have a lot of variables in the networking stack, is organized chronologically. Like, we don't think about this. Normal engineers, you know, like us, the noobs. What do? Like, oh, variable number one. Oh, just added little just below it. Just add a new variable. You want to add a new variable? Just add it in next to it. We don't care, right? So it's organized often logically. Like, if you have the source IP address next to it, the destination IP address. Just logic. You know, we use logic. It's like, oh, this next to it. Or just chronologically. Oh, we added this. Then 6 months later, we added just goes to the bottom. But sometimes, rarely, it is organized by this cache lane axis. So what is that? See, what they did is they looked at all these network structures and say, all right, let's organize this entire thing based on the cache line axis. So in order to explain that, we need to explain how the CPU essentially works in general. So let me just spin up a little bit, quick drawing. Yeah, I just want to draw some stuff here for you guys. So here's your memory, here is your CPU, right? And what else do I need to draw? Yeah, that's pretty much it. So if your program wants to fetch a variable, it makes a request to the DDR RAM, right? Says, hey, I want this particular variable in this particular virtual memory, in this particular physical memory address. So there is a lot going on here that we do the mapping from virtual memory to physical memory. But essentially, we make a request to say, hey, I want that. But guess what? We almost never, the CPU never fetches 1 byte or 3 bytes or 4 bytes. It fetches a line of cache. And this is also referred to as the burst length in the DDR RAM terminologies, right? Because it's costly to open a row in the RAM here. It's very, very costly, right? So the RAM never gives you just 1 byte. It gives you a whole burst. It's like, all right, it's usually, this number is often 64 bytes. It's the agreed upon. So the CPU makes a request, say, hey, I want this variable. But it's like, okay, you don't just get that. You get the whole 64 byte next to it, right? And it all depends like how on the paging, right? On the page, you know, alignment of the virtual memory page compared lined up with the physical memory page. But you get a whole thing. And this goes into the L3 cache here in the CPU. And it also goes into the L2. The L3 is shared between, if this is a core, it's shared between all the cores, you know? Right, and if you have another L2 cache, is shared, but just by the, you know, by the CPU itself. So let me draw this better. Okay, so this is one core, right? This is another core, right? This is the third core, and so on, right? And this is a whole L3 cache, which is shared by all the cores. So when we do a hit, it gets cached right here in the L3 cache. The CPU cache, but we get a whole this 64 byte worth of juices, you know? So if you fetched like, I don't know, the packet length or the IP address, right? Of the TCP structure, then you said, oh, you know what? I want actually the checksum, right? Or the skip list. So if you do that, then if that location, the new memory address, is not in the cache, you're gonna do another memory access, which you take like what, 50 nanosecond? I think that's the memory, 70 nanosecond. That's the hit, right? And then you go and then fetch another 64 bit and you put it in the cache. But if you were lucky and whatever you requested was in the L3 cache because it was next to whatever you requested, then that's what? Very, very fast. I don't know what's this then. Is it micro? Is it a nanosecond? Is the list then? It's like I think 1 or 2 nanoseconds. That's the cache, L3 cache. So it's very fast. So that's why organizing the variables and go to the patch. Look at this. This is nuts, guys. Right? And I don't know. Some of you might be in network, you know, actual kernel developers, and laughing at me right now. So it's like, of course, Sam, that's what you do when you tune the performance. Like, I don't know. I never coded for anything this low level before. But this is nuts. See that? So they're removing this variable essentially, and they're just flipping it around. So it used to be here, and they just moved it up. This is crazy. This is crazy. Right? They're just moving variables around. It's like, all right, let's move this up because this, when I requested this, it opened that the next line of code is requesting this. So it's better to put these next to each other so that we get a nice, beautiful cache line hit, you know, CPU cache line hit. And of course, then the L3 is large, like it's like 256 megabyte, I think. You're talking about, this won't matter if you have like one or two connections, but if you have like millions of connections, it adds up. Those 256 cache line gets evicted very quickly. You don't want that. You don't want, you just made a request, you brought 64 byte, and then you made a request, you brought another 64 byte, you put it, and the L3 is filled. Now you made a request, like, oh, it's not there, it's not in any of my caches, let me go to memory, come back. If, oh, I don't have space, let's evict something. So that's the LRU kicking, I think. Does the L3 use the LRU? I'm not sure. But yeah, this is old stuff. Nobody used this for a long time. Let's toss it around, bring this. And then the next request from the CPU, the memory fetch, is like, oh, bring this. Oh, shoot, we just tossed it. It was there in the L3 cache. We tossed it. And that's what killed the performance. But I absolutely love this stuff. Look at this patch. Yeah, let's look at some numbers. Look at all these beautiful, beautiful Shakshi numbers. On AMD platforms with 100 gigabits Nikko and 256 MB L3 cache, what is that? IPv4 flows with patches, clean code. Look at that. So they talk about the flows, minus 36%. Minus, that's the percentage reduction. 41, 44, 35. So the average is around 40%, up to 44 you can get sometimes. On Intel, you didn't get much, huh? Like, on the most, you know, the most benefits was the 256 megabyte L3 cache on 100 gigabits NIC on AMD. But then the IPv6 version on that got also the similar, but on Intel, it didn't give much. Maybe because the L3 cache of Intel's are really low. It's like half of that of the AMD's. But yeah, that's weak. 1%. That's weak, Intel. So yeah, I just thought I'll cover this. This is really a hell of an improvement, as the Foronix folks put it. It's really, really cool. Kudos to Google. Who's working on this? Let's, as usual in this channel, we'd like to acknowledge the people who works on these beautiful, beautiful patches. I don't know if those guys want to show their image, but this is public. I'm sorry. It's already public patch, so I don't know. So Coco Lee, that's the author. Jacob. So Coco Lee, Eric Dumzet. I know, I've heard this name a lot. I think... is one of the OGs. Neil Cardwell. You know, there's a lot of people. And of course, being reviewed. I don't know if it made it yet, but it will be available in 6.8. And I just wanted to cover that. I thought I found it interesting. And all this cache line memory stuff, I'll talk about it in my new operating system cache. I'm working on it. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll release it end of March 2024, early April. I talk about all this stuff, you know, in details. And it's a fascinating, fascinating new world, learning about all that stuff. But yeah, just looking, this is a completely different lens, you guys. Like, just playing with all this stuff. And you would think that the compiler detect this and organize your variable order instruct such that it will optimize the TCP? Organize the cache line performance? Maybe, and maybe not, because maybe the order of the struct you put maybe have difference. And I don't think it's a good idea for the compiler to change the order of your struct variables. But yeah, I might be wrong about this. What do you think? What do you guys think about this one? I thought I just found it interesting. See you in the next one.